In het boekje, in de aankondiging staat dat we deze sessie in het Engels zouden doen. Ik had hem eigenlijk voorbereid in het Nederlands, dus de slides zijn in het Nederlands. Maar ik weet dat er in elk geval één persoon is die het graag in het Engels zou willen. Dus als jullie er geen bezwaar tegen hebben, dan doe ik het toch in het Engels, want dan kan die ene persoon het ook begrijpen. Oké. This talk is about the special features of SQL Server, well, SQL Server Denali, and also how to consume those types in Silverlight. That's me, Wim Lichtendag, work at the Gisfabriek. My specialization is geographical information systems. So exactly the stuff I'm talking about interests me very much. And during the last 10 years I've been working mostly in .NET, mostly in C#, and last 5 years most of the time web applications, GIS web applications. I've got a blog. The blog is there, the URL of the blog, and most of the stuff I'm talking about is on my blog already. This is the agenda. Three things: spatial types in SQL Server 2008 plus. 2008, 2008 R2 and Denali. The second part is about what's new, if it's about spatial in Denali. Well, I'm not going to talk about every single new thing, but well, I'll browse through the most important things. Well, the most important things for me, at least. And the third part, and that's with demos, is how to use these spatial types in Silverlight, how to expose them via web servers and consume them in Silverlight. That's what I'm going to hope. That's what I'm hoping to show you in this hour. Spatial types. What's spatial types? Well, points, lines, and polygons, geometries, which can be stored in the database. We've always been able to store geometries in a database, but you needed to extract the x and the y's and the z values, if you've got them, and store them as doubles or whatever in some field in the database. But since SQL Server 2008, there's a new spatial type in SQL Server. It's a user-defined type, so that it's some kind of a blob that's being stored in the database. And it is a user-defined type, but it is well known because it is according to the specifications of the Open Geospatial Consortium. That's the organization that takes care of all the, well, the definitions you need as a GIS developer or GIS professional in order to be able to communicate with other GIS systems. So it's a sort of ISO specification for the spatial world. The way the stuff is being stored in the database is, well, it's not very interesting. I've been looking into it. It's some binary form, but the spatial type itself can be converted to something well known binary and well known text, also specified. It's according to the specifications of the Open Geospatial Consortium. There's also the geography markup language that can be used. That's an XML format which can be used for defining your spatial types. You can use those spatial types in the SQL statements, in the SQL Server SQL statements. You can use it via T-SQL, but you can also use it from code. That's what I'm doing most, because I'm not very good at SQL, to be honest. There's a .NET assembly. It's installed on your machine if you install a SQL Server. .NET assembly somewhere in the program files, blah 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 blah, directory somewhere, and you can use it to access those types directly in code. You can use those types in the client application, but you can also use them in the SQL CLR. They're registered in the SQL CLR, so you can use them on the server side as well. These are the types that existed in the SQL Server 2008 release 2, R2. There are two kinds of spatial types, geometry and geography. I'm going to talk a bit more about that later. Here you see the geometry types, but the geography types are, well, have the same names, they're similar. And the blue ones are instantiable. You can new them up and use them. The other ones are just parent classes that cannot be instantiated. Why are they there then? Why use a curve and a surface, or a multi-surface and a multi-curve? Well, because the OpenGeospatial Consortium has that in their definition. So when Microsoft decided to follow the specifications of the Open Geospatial Consortium as close as possible, so they implemented those as well. As I said, two types, the geometry and the geography type, and I've wrote down some code. The upper one, the upper red one, is SQL. That's how you declare a point in SQL. You do it using well-known text. See the stuff behind ST point from text is a well-known text declaration of a point. You specify that that's about the point, and then between brackets the X and the Y, and then some other a number at the end, which you need. You can do exactly the same thing in code. That's the line below it. A SQL geometry type. There's a static method st point from text on the SQL geometry type, and you need to enter the same thing basically. Well, you need to wrap the well-known text in a SQL chars object, and then you're there. You have exactly the same result. That's the geometry stuff. The geography stuff is exactly the same. Well, not exactly the same, but see the code. The code uses the same statements, but you enter something different. Here in the point, you see that these are latitudes and longitudes, because geography is all about latitude and longitude, not about projected data. And so that's the only difference. Here we have some projected X and Y on a flat surface, on a plane. This is a very important number. The thing at the end is the spatial reference ID. Most people who start working with SQL Server Spatial just enter a zero there. Well, that's not right. That's actually very wrong, because then you're defining something. Well, you're entering a few numbers here which are undefined. That's the same as, for example, asking for I want 3 sugar. What? Cups? Kilos? Whatever. You don't know the measures. So you need to have the spatial reference ID, because the spatial reference ID specifies the world you're living in. It gives your X and Y coordinates meaning. This is what spatial reference is about. There's an ellipsoid you need with a center point somewhere, and an orientation of the ellipsoid. As you know, the world is not round, it's not flat either, but it's also not an ellipse. It's something like a potato, but you can't describe a potato very easily, so most of the time you use a flattened circle, an ellipsoid, and try to fit that as close as possible to the surface of the Earth, that part of the surface of the Earth you're interested in. And that's why you need to shift the middle, the center point a bit sometimes, and you need to turn around the ellipsoid a bit. Well, that's your datum. That's that spatial reference number defines a datum. And then there's also a coordinate system. Well, let's skip the first one. That's not so very interesting, the geocentric, but there's a spherical and a Cartesian system. The spherical system is just, well, longitudes and latitudes. You define the number of degrees you are away from the equator and from the central meridian. And central meridian is, of course, not something which is natural. You need to pick one. And because the Greenwich meridian was the most used, that has become the central meridian. Well, for most people. There's still some people who are using other central meridians. And then if you want to, because people confuse spatial reference always with projection. No, it is not a projection. Projection is a part of the spatial reference system. Projection is simply converting the latitudes and longitudes to some flat surface and converting the converting them to a particular x and y number. But if you have a projected system, you need a datum and a projection as well. So this, the spatial reference is very important. If you don't define it, well, there's no real GIS application that can do something with it. The spatial types, so the SQL geometry and the SQL geography type, which can be stored in the in SQL Server, have some spatial operators. These are the most important ones. They all start with ST, spatial type, and equals disjoint. Well, I've copied some information out of the MSDN, out of some MSDN page. But this describes exactly what these operators do. They just return a boolean, so they can tell you if two geometries are exactly equal. So if their points on a polygon are exactly the same, or if they're disjoint, so they are completely spatially unrelated, or they intersect, they overlap partially. So they can tell they can tell you that already. You don't need to write your own algorithm for finding out if spatial types have some kind of relation. And there's also an ST relate, which is very usable if you want to do combinations of these operators. So if you want to do a combination of a few operators in one statement, you need to use the ST relate. We'll see the documentation for that. There's also a few spatial operators which give you back not a boolean but something, well, more interesting. For example, an ST buffer. Paul, who did the talk earlier this morning, showed some buffer already. The buffer is nothing more than an area around some geometry with specified distance. Convex hull, that's all the connecting outer lines around the geometry. Intersection, well, the two the part which two geometries have in common. Union is, well, two geometries union together, etc. They're very interesting and they're very very powerful, and you don't need to write your own algorithms for getting these results. They are there already for you. You can use spatial operators in queries as well. Here's the upper part. The upper red part is how you do it in with an SQL statement, and the part behind the where is that's a spatial operator where some shape intersects another shape. which has been defined here at the first line. It's simply a point. And you can do an ST intersects, and then you get back from the database all the geometries that indeed intersect with this point, so that have that point in common. Need to be aware of the fact that these things can only happen on types with the same spatial reference. If the if the spatial references not match, you don't get back a proper result. So please make sure that the spatial reference is always the same as the spatial reference of the stuff in the database. Can use them in the client side as well, C sharp. Here's I'm newing up a new polygon here. Well, it's this is bad, of course, and a second polygon as well. Well, if you draw them in your mind or on a piece of paper, you see that they have some kind of intersection, and that's what I'm doing here. On the first polygon, I do an ST intersection. So not an ST intersect, but an ST intersection, which gives me back a result, the geometry. That's the part of the geometry that's in common. They give you back it gives you back an SQL geometry. So this takes part completely at the client side. So you can use these operators at the server side in SQL Server, but you can use them at the client side in your client application as well. And if you do this message box, enter this in a Windows Forms application, for example, you do message box show, then you get back this. I did this, of course, and this is simply a screenshot of the application I created. And you see, you end up with a polygon defining the intersection area. You see that there's one slight problem with this thing. These coordinates are doubles, so the polygon that's being created, the new points that have been created for the intersection, they are not rounded. They're not so there's a rounding error. And that's always a problem if you work with GIS, if you work with geometries or geographies. Please be aware of the fact that there's always insignificant digits somewhere behind the decimal separator involved, and you need to cut them off or in some way or another take care of that fact. Otherwise, if you do, for example, an equals, well, this gives you back a false. If you don't take measures. I already told that zero is, well, it's bad. No, it's not bad, but if you do this, this is not something GIS developer needs. He can't do anything with that. Well, what about the new stuff in Denali? There's a few OGC types. Well, the Open Geospatial Consortium, as you told already, that were still lacking. The Open Geospatial Consortium also defines a few geometries that have circular parts, that contain circular parts. The circular string, the compound curve, and the curve polygon have been added to the already existing collection. Circular string is nothing than a part of a circle that can be combined with the other already existing geometries, geometry parts. For example, here, and then we've got the compound curve. That's a combination of curves, of a curve and a line. And there's also a curve polygon that can, that exists, consists of a few circular strings. Is this important? Well, yes and no. For me personally, I've been doing this work for some 20 years now, and I've never used a circular something. But CAD people who make CAD drawings, they are very happy with this. They want to be able to store their drawings in the SQL Server database, and this is exactly what they needed. But if you ask me, well, it's nice that it's there, but I don't care too much. I've copied this over from some PDF in the Open Geospatial on the Open Geospatial site. This is what's been defined in the simple features. These are all the simple features. What has been implemented up to now in Denali? Everything up until here. So it's basically everything except for the 3D stuff. There's the polyhedral surface and the TIN, the triangular irregular network. It's not there yet. I don't know if they are planning to add that. But all the basic types you need are now there. So it's enough for me. Spatial indexing. If you have a spatial database, these spatial queries are very very heavy. There's a lot of traffic going around in the database if you do a query, spatial query. If you want to draw, for example, all the neighborhoods in the Netherlands, there's a data set where I'm going to show you in the demos later on. If you do a simple query, if you want to draw all the neighborhoods of the Netherlands, that's some 400 objects. Well, they're all grabbed out of the database, evaluated, and there's a bitmap. At the end of the day, there's a bitmap being created or whatever. There's something visual being created, and that's being displayed on screen. But for one single picture, everybody has every single feature, every single geometry has to be dragged out of the database. So there's a lot of traffic going around. And if you only have normal indexes, so the indexes that were already there, well, you're not going to have a very fast spatial database. You need some spatial indexing as well. You need to ask questions to the database like, give me all the features that are in the northern part of the Netherlands. I don't care about the southern part or the western part. I just want one single small part. I want everything, but only in this small part. So you need to do some spatial reducing as well, not only attribute, so non-spatial reducing, also spatial. Well, that's what the spatial index is for. There's a spatial index for every geometry. There's Microsoft created a tiling scheme in the SQL Server 2008 and the 2008 R2 versions. There were only four tiling schemes. So they're drawn here. This is the old picture. And every tile is being divided again in the same amount of tiles that were originally there. So on this level there are 16 tiles. Well, this tile on the next level is being divided up in 16 tiles again, and then that's repeated on the next level, and so on, four times. And for every geometry, it's registered somewhere in a table in the database or in an index, if they belong to that tile or not. So that's a way to very fast reduce the number of geometries you need, and speeds up the performance enormously. Well, Denali now has the option auto_grid, and that gives us 8 levels. You don't need to do very much. This is the statement I finally was able to enter into the database, and that worked well. When I looked at the result in the Denali Management Studio, it didn't. The bounding box was not very satisfactory, but it could be that that's still a bug in the Management Studio of Denali, because the Management Studio of Denali is also not able to display the spatial types. The earlier version was, the R2 version was, but the spatial stuff is not yet completely finished in the Management Studio of Denali in CTP1. I'm talking about CTP1 now. I know that there's a CTP2, but I wasn't allowed to see that. There's a few other improvements as well. There's a link to the website where you can download the PDF that sums up all the other improvements, minor improvements in the spatial stuff. Well, most of this was already there in SQL Server 2008, and I asked myself the question, is it possible to build some kind of very primitive GIS application using only the Microsoft stuff? So nothing from Esri, which is one of the big players in the GIS world, as you probably know. No, just the Microsoft stuff. Can that be done? And, well, this is what I tried. I ended up with this application. Is this readable, or do I need to? Okay. I ended up with this application. I simply created a Silverlight, simple Silverlight application, and I can do a live demo of part of this stuff. I'm not going to do everything, because that'll cost me too much time. They can do a small part to show you what's involved. I'm creating a Silverlight application, and let me call it Spatial Demo. And this is Silverlight 5. Well, it's okay with me. The settings are okay. I'll do an enable WCF RIA services, because that saves me a lot of time. And there we go. Visual Studio is thinking for a while. There we are. And I want to consume this database. I created, I have SQL Server Denali installed here, and I've created a spatial database here, DevDays database as well, they're exact copies. Spatial database, and I imported a table using an importer I wrote myself, which can be downloaded from my blog. I imported this table. Yeah, okay, that's because I'm using a Denali database in SQL Server Management Studio R2, but it works. And there's a geometry field. Well, there's lots of information in the, well, the in the non-geometry fields, but there's a geometry field as well. Well, it shows up as some binary thing. But there's also a spatial results tab, which enables me to look at, well, the spatial view of this of these things. The only problem is that I'm not able to select more than 5,000 rows. If I want to look at all the neighborhoods of the Netherlands, that's not going to work. This thing is simply not well, don't know, but it refuses to do that, which makes it not really, really very useful. But okay, we can see that this is a spatial data set, and we can use that. So this is the thing I'm going to use. This is the table I'm going to use, and it's those spatial these geometries I'm going to show in my Silverlight application. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. So what I did was something like this. Let's first add a models folder, something like that, and do an add new item. I'm doing that, by the way, I'm doing that in my web, so in my server-side stuff. I haven't done anything in my Silverlight application stuff. That's completely as generated still. So I'm using my data, the data folder in the Visual C Sharp templates, and I'm using the ADO.NET entity data model. So I'm going to use the entity framework. And let's call this thing spatial model. It's the umpteenth spatial model I've been producing. Generate from database, that's okay with me. And which database? Well, it thinks for a while and then gives me the solution itself. Yeah, that's all. Everything is okay. So I'm using this spatial database and with this data set of the Dutch neighborhoods, buurten, in it. Thinks for a while. And here are my tables. And I want to add this buurten data set to my model, and also let the thing pluralize or singularize generated object names. And I click on finish, and then there's my spatial model being produced. So we've got a model, an entity framework model around this table, which can be served up using a WCF service to the Silverlight application. And let me show you the problem which I have now. Well, the problem I have now is that I can't scroll properly, but it's something else. If we go back to the SQL Server Management Studio, you see that the geometry field is called geom. So the geometry is stored in the geom field. And if you look at the entity framework object that's being generated for us, there's no geom there. That's because a user-defined type cannot be exposed via the entity framework, also not 4.1. And that's something lots of people have been complaining over, but it's not yet fixed. It's high on the priority list of the developers, so it's probably coming in the next version, but we're waiting for it. But there's a workaround. A bit of surfing on the internet gave me the following solution. I'm not going to show you exactly what I did, but not exactly the sequence of steps you have to do. But there's I created a view, and I know that some index is out of bounds, something's not being implemented. That's okay with me. What I basically did was create a view, and I did nothing more than just forward all the fields that were already in the table, except for the geometry field. I exposed that as an array of bytes, and then it's working. You can expose the geometry or the geography fields in the form of an array of bytes. So I ended up with this model. I'm turning back to my original demo now, which I already generated. Let me see. I ended up with this model. You see, there's the JOM field, and that's an array of bytes, so that's being exposed to the outside world. And then I created a service, also via a wizard, and I call that spatial domain service. Well, I can let you can do that in my spatial demo. Oh yeah. Let's create a folder here first. Services. No. Services. It's a bit too much of a service. And then add new item. Web. No, not web. Let me see. Silverlight, of course. No. What did I do wrong? There we are, web. And then we can do something like WCF data service. And it's also, well, the WCF data service 1 is fine by me. And then there's, I think it's this one. No, okay, well, I use the wizard. I can't find the right wizard now because I just decided to do this demo, to do this part of the demo unprepared, so that's not very wise. But I created the WCF service. If you use the right template, you create a WCF service, which enables you to choose the right model, and then all the methods are automatically created for you, and also in the proper format for serving them to Silverlight. So that was the easy part. Well, creating this view and exposing it as an array of bytes took me some time, but that was basically the easy part. Then I got this spatial domain service, and this is the method I'm using. I'm going to enlarge this a bit. This was the method I'm using in the WCF service, so it's not very verbose. It just uses the object context, so the entity framework thing that gives me the objects I want, and I expose that in the form of an iQuerial of, well, the objects. That's being exposed to Silverlight. So I ended up with a ButtonView object. But that ButtonView object is something I can't use very easily because it exposes an array of bytes. I don't want that. I want Silverlight geometries instead of an array of bytes. Well, fortunately, this ButtonView, if you look at the metadata of this service, you don't see it because I didn't set my font large enough. You see, that's a partial class. It is a partial class. So that enables me to create another partial class defining extra properties. And that's exactly what I did. Here in my model folders, I created a class of the same name and also made it partial. And I just added a data member attribute in order to be able to expose it via via the WCF service. And then I created the property geometry. Well, there's a setter here as well. But let me show you the other one. I've got it ready already. Here's it here. And what I did is, well, I simply converted the array of bytes via a memory stream and a binary reader in to an SQL geometry, so the native type that has been exposed as an array of, that has been serialized as an array of bytes. I'm just deserializing it again using the binary reader and a memory stream. But that is not enough, because now I end up with an SQL geometry. And that's fine. That's usable in SQL Server, but it's not usable in Silverlight. As you probably know, Silverlight also has a geometry, a bunch of geometry objects, but they're of course not completely the same. They are similar, but not the same. So you need to convert them from SQL geometries. You need a conversion from SQL geometries to Silverlight geometries. And that's what I did. I used the method to Silverlight geometry on the SQL geometry instance. Well, that thing doesn't exist, really. It's an extension method I created. So I've got a folder extensions here, and I have a SQL geometry helper class here. And it has two public static methods, so there's two extension methods. One to Silverlight geometry. There's just the this variable. So this evaluates to Silverlight geometry, and then nothing in the brackets. And that just calls another to Silverlight geometry. That's this one, that's also public. And that it uses a default point size. So if you've got a point, you are not able to see that point if you don't create a small circle, because a point has no dimension, so you can't display it. So what I'm doing is create a very small circle if I've got a point, and you don't need to enter a default point size. Well, I could also have, yeah. You don't need to enter a point size, that's a default point size. What I'm doing then is creating a stream geometry, that's a Silverlight geometry. The stream geometry has a method open, which gives me a stream geometry context, and in that geometry context I can write all the stuff I want. So I can write my own geometry, my own geometries. Then I'm looking at the SQL geometry that has been entered in this method. The first step I'm taking is to make it valid, because geometries can be invalid. For example, if you've got a polygon with self-crossing rings, then it's invalid according to the Open Geospatial Consortium, and also to Microsoft, of course, because they follow those specifications. So there's a make valid method, and that make valid method makes them valid. Simply it. That's what I'm doing first, and then I'm going to use a lot of methods on the SQL geometry instance. STNum geometry. A geometry itself could contain more geometries. A multipoint contains points. A multi-line string contains line strings, and etc. So a geometry can contain other geometries, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm simply entering a for loop and step through all the geometries that are contained in it, and I extract them via the method stgeometryN. And then I've got a subgeometry, and then I'm extracting all the points from the from this geometry. And what I'm doing then is adding those points to the, to the Silverlight geometry. Well, the exact details are not very important, but this thing has more or less been tested and is on my, I've tested it for quite a few data sets, and it can be downloaded from my blog, as I said. So this is the extension method that converts the SQL geometries to Silverlight geometries, and then we've got everything we want. We've got an object having a property geometry, and we can consume that at the Silverlight site, and there you are. So what I've got here, we are going to look at our Silverlight project now for the first time. So most of the work has been done at the server side. And what I did here, I did not properly use the MVVM pattern, but I'm not a big fan of putting loads of code behind my main page. So I decided to take some way in between. I created the Silverlight features provider, which contains most of the code. I new that up here, and I've got a few fields here as well. No, only the Silverlight features provider. And here is my my button click. I just use the spatial domain context, which is magically appearing for me because I use RIA services. I have this WCF service, which is in my in the website that is hosting my application. So there's magically a spatial domain context appearing for me. Don't need to do anything for that. The wizard created that thing for me. I new it up, and then I'm doing a link query. Let's do this first. So from this spatial domain context has a method getBuurten, so municipalities, getBuurten views query. This is a funny name actually, and it gives me in an entity query object, hands me back all the objects I need. And I'm doing a select everything. What I'm doing, what I need to do then is a spatial domain context dot load, put my spatial query in it, and hand it back a callback method. Load completed. Well, the load completed is being called when everything is at the Silverlight side. And what I'm doing then, I simply hand everything over to my Silverlight features provider, and we're there. And the Silverlight feature provider doesn't do much. I just add a lot of items to the canvas. Let me see. I create paths. A path object can be displayed on a Silverlight canvas. So the only thing I need to do is get out the for every item, I get out the string, the geometry. I just showed you I created a geometry property via this partial class. Well, this is what I that's the thing I'm getting here. It's a string. I try to create the Silverlight geometry, the full-blown Silverlight geometry already at the server side, but and then serialize it to the to the Silverlight client. But the Silverlight up until now doesn't have a binary formatter, so that And that was, I thought that too complicated, so I simply used a string for uploading, which is not, of course, not very efficient. And then I used the XAML reader to load the thing and create the contents of the path, so the geometry of the path. And you also need to give the path a bit of display properties, a stroke and a fill, and then I add them to the to a list of paths. That's what I'm doing in a loop. And if I've got that, the moment I got every path in this array, I just need to do something with the stroke thickness. I need to, I need to calculate the scale factor, because I get everything back in map coordinates. So in this case it's the RD, the Dutch coordinate system. I can't do anything with that if I don't transform it to the canvas. So I need a transform. I need a scale and a transform. And what I do here is the line, the stroke thickness, I'm reducing the stroke thickness, otherwise I won't see anything. I would just see one big line. And I add a render transform which scales the geometries and also shifts them a bit that they fit in the canvas. And then I add everything. And that's basically what's needed. That's everything. Well, then we get this. If we run this, hopefully, take some time. Yeah, well, this is the sign that my application is probably working. There's a load button. It's very, very simple. And if I press it, I have to wait a bit, it crashes. Well, we've got a bit of a problem here. There's a huge amount of data coming to us. All the neighborhoods of the Netherlands are being sent to us via the web service, and that's a lot of data. That's not something you would normally do for different reasons. But lots of people are doing this, so this is exactly why I'm showing this. This is, well, that's simply too much data. We're still in an internet environment. Don't push the data over you don't need. Just be a bit smarter. Well, there's one way to be a bit smarter, and that's this. I've shown you that already. We could do something like, sorry, we need to be at, where is it? Let's reduce this a bit. We could do we could reduce the amount of spatial entities we drag over by doing a where, and that where could also be, of course, a spatial where, and that's a bit more performant, hopefully. Run, I said. Well, yeah, that's more or less Rotterdam. The symbology is horrible, I know, but I didn't devote too much attention to that. So that works. There's another way. There's a way to, we can cheat. We can drag everything over. We can do this. Could go to the web config, and I already entered some stuff here. Well, with every single version of WCF WCF basically, they make it easier for us to make the entries in the web config easier. So, for every single version, you have to figure out once again how to do this damn stuff. So, but this was somewhere. If you look around on the internet enough, you'll find it. And if I uncomment this, so the max request length at the server side, and if I change the behavior and telling the data contract serializer that the max items in object graph can be a bit more, well, huge amount more, then it's probably going to work. But this is cheating, because look, this takes far too long. There's no user having the patience for this. But it drags over everything, and there we are. It shows up in the Dutch national system, and everything is okay, and all the geometries are okay. So this works, but it's, well, the dragging over of the information from the server takes too long. We need to do something smarter. I've got this is not GIS. This is not a map. I can't do anything with it. I cannot drag, or, well, I can drag, but nothing happens. So this is simply the most basic demo you can think of. So I decided to create a demo which is a bit more GIS-like. But this was just to test if the Microsoft stuff is enough for me to create a GIS application. And the answer is basically yes, because we've got everything we need. We just need to tweak a bit and make a few workarounds like views and stuff, but everything works, so that's okay. But there's more. Microsoft also has a thing called Bing. It has Bing Maps, which probably everybody knows. There's other maps as well from, well, some organization we don't need to mention here. And that's the equivalent of Bing Maps. I created exactly the same thing. And by the way, my Silverlight XAML is very, very basic. I forgot to show that. This is it. I just have a button here and a canvas, and that's it. What I did here in this demo is not enter a button and a canvas, but a button and a Bing Maps control. There's also a Silverlight map control for Bing, as you probably know, and I used that. So what I did, there's also a SQL geometry helper. There's exactly the same stuff I already explained. The only thing is I wasn't able to create Silverlight geometries because Bing has its own geometry system. So I needed to tweak it a bit and turn it into Bing Silverlights instead of Silverlight geometries, which are deep down, of course, Silverlight geometries, but there's a layer above it. So I needed to adapt my SQL geometry helper a bit. And then I got this. I hope my internet connection is working. Yes, it is. And you see Bing Maps is appearing. Let's zoom in to the Netherlands and then do the same thing. Have to wait a bit because, well, it's too much information coming over. But eventually it's there. And the problem we've got now is this. Let's zoom a bit. Nothing happens. But eventually it zooms. So the drawing of all those... I zoomed just once. Well, probably thought that I'd... You see, there's even some kind of tooltip. Well, that's simply the Silverlight tooltip I used. So this is not acceptable. This is simply not acceptable. There's some guy who's called Ricky Brundrit, and he's created all kinds of nifty stuff for Bing Maps. And among other things, he has created an optimized map layer. And the optimized map layer, there's nothing more than change its visibility to invisible the moment the map view is changing, and its visibility is turned on again the moment the action is finished. So if we do that, if we enable that, there's an optimized map layer here we need, and I'm creating an optimized map layer here. I'm newing it up and simply adding it to the map. I need to enable this as well. Let's make this a bit larger. So create an optimized map layer and not add the items to the map, but to the optimized map layer instead. So you can add layers to a map as well in Bing, and that's what he's basically doing. And if we do this, well, it's a bit better. This is, of course, not changed. Da-da-da-da, there we are. But this is, well, wouldn't say better, because this takes ages before it appears again, but well, you can zoom and you can pan. Well, can pan before it's finished. So this is still not really acceptable, so we need to think of some better solution. And the solution, of course, is make bitmaps instead of make bitmaps at the server side and send them over instead of all the this huge amount of geometries. I probably do not need all those. Especially if I've got the whole of the Netherlands in my view, I don't need every single geometry. I just need some geometry if I'm zoomed in more and if I want to. Well, to edit them or whatever, or inspect its properties or things like that. So we need to be a bit smarter and prepare at some scale ranges. Prepare bitmaps and send them over, and send over a bit of vector stuff as well, a bit of geometry as well, because the user needs to do something with these geometries. But use a combination of it. We have to use a combination of this stuff. But this is simply too much. And if you add more, suppose you add all the neighborhoods of the whole of Europe. Well, it's simply not workable. So we need to be a bit smarter. And that's something that's at this moment a lot of developers have problems with this at this moment. And that's why I wanted you to show. Oh well, the problem I have with it. So the question is the spatial stuff in SQL Server Denali and also in Silverlight okay if it's about developing GIS applications? The answer is yes, definitely it is. It has grown up. It's okay, but we need to do a bit of work before we can really make a proper GIS application. This was the other demo. That's the end of my presentation. So, if you've got questions, please. Kan ook het Nederlands tellen, hoor. Ja. De vraag was, het entity model ondersteunt geen de special types nog niet, geen user defined types. Kun je dan wel special vragen stellen of moet je dan andere dingen doen? Ja. Op dit moment nog wel. Op dit moment moet je echt aan de serverkant daar dan nog extra werk voor doen. Je kan natuurlijk de truc herhalen en de zaken zelf ook weer als een Raven Bytes terugsturen. En dat dan consumeren en er dan iets slims mee doen aan de ontvangende kant. Maar je moet wel altijd die truc uithalen. Dat is op dit moment nog eventjes niet, nog niet omheen te werken. Ja. De vraag was, in Nederland wordt het Rijksdriehoekstelsel vooral gebruikt. Wordt dat ook door de special types van Microsoft van het SQL Server ondersteund? Het antwoord is ja. Dus alle special reference ID's die die door het Open Geospatial Consortium zijn ondersteund, kun je erin kwijt. En als het dan gaat om projecteren van de ene naar de andere, dat is een andere zaak. Dus als je bijvoorbeeld van WGS 1984, dat is latitude longitude, dus waar we met de GPS-apparaten mee werken. Als je dan wil gaan converteren naar Rijksdriehoekstelsel en terug, dat zit niet in SQL Server Spatial ingebakken. Dat zul je zelf moeten implementeren. Maar één richting is overigens al dat heb ik bewust even overgeslagen. Maar dat zit ook in een van deze voorbeelden. Dus mijn data, die zitten ook in Rijksdriehoekstelsel. En die moet ik natuurlijk in latitude longitude op Bing Maps projecteren. Want die kent alleen maar latitude longitude. Nou, die conversie zit er al in. Maar dat is dus zelfgeschreven code. En dat zit niet ingebakken in SQL Server Spatial. Oké, de vraag was, ik heb nu zelf mijn eigen spulletjes gebakken. Esri, zoals jullie mogelijk weten, is een grote GIS-producent die ook veel Microsoft-spullen heeft en ook een Silverlight Control heeft gemaakt. Die vooral goed met Esri-spullen kan praten, maar ook met Open Geospatial dingen. Hoe performt dat? Nou, die hebben precies deze truc uitgehaald. Dus die serveren voor grote hoeveelheden data, dus als je uitgezoomd bent en je hebt heel veel geometrieën in beeld, serveren ze de kaart, de bitmaps. En als je werkelijk met de geometrieën wil gaan werken, dan kun je voor een klein stukje, dat kun je door de ontwikkelaar zelf te bepalen wat en hoe en waar, kun je die dan overhalen en daar kun je dan mee werken. Dus die doen inderdaad die slimme combinatie. Daar zit echt al een heleboel in. Ja, klopt. Dus de vraag was welke versies van SQL Server ondersteunen dit? Vanaf SQL Server 2008, R2, Denali, alles. Dus ook de Express Edition, alles. Ja, daar kun je dan natuurlijk niet enorme hoeveelheden data in kwijt, maar de functionaliteit is niet beperkt. Dus als je ermee wil experimenteren, is het ook prima om gewoon de Express Edition te downloaden en te gebruiken. De distance operator in kilometer, of dat hangt er vanaf. Dat hangt van je map. Met je special reference ID, waar ik zo elke keer zo krampachtig op wees, dat definieert ook de map units. Dus in die units krijg je je distance terug. Ja. Waren er nog een paar mensen? Of indexing alleen is geïmplementeerd in SQL Server Denali, bedoel je? Nee, dus het is overal geïmplementeerd. Het is ook in SQL Server 2008 en in 2008 R2 geïmplementeerd. Alleen in Denali is het indexing systeem nog weer uitgebreid en wat slimmer gemaakt. In de twee eerdere versies moest je als database administrator of als ontwikkelaar nogal behoorlijk op je kop gaan staan om dat een beetje fatsoenlijk te tunen. Maar nu is dat veel slimmer gemaakt en wordt automatisch aangepast aan de grootte van de features en zo. De grootte van de geometrieën. Er nog meer vragen? Okay. Welke nauwkeurigheid kun je bereiken met de objecten? In principe zo nauwkeurig als je wil. Sorry? Met de daar moet ik het antwoord schuldig op blijven. Daar heb ik eerlijk gezegd nog geen tests voor gedaan. Nee. Het is wel zo trouwens dat de data van de onderliggende data van Bing, dat geldt overigens ook voor Google Maps, dan moet je niet proberen om daar applicaties op te maken die waar aannemers gasleidingen kunnen bekijken. Van oké, ik ga hier graven, ligt geen gasleiding. Niet doen. Want die dingen zijn toch wel een klein beetje gerubbersheet, die luchtfoto's. En houden ook bijvoorbeeld geen rekening met hoogteverschillen en zo. Ja, wel een beetje, maar niet genoeg. Dus voor echt landmeter nauwkeurigheid zijn die onderliggende data niet geschikt. Maar hoe dat met je eigen data die je toevoegt, hoe dat dan in dat systeem past en hoe nauwkeurig dat is, heb ik eerlijk gezegd nog geen test mee gedaan. Sorry, of dus Esri of? Ja. Ja, ik moet eerlijk zeggen dat ik hier een beetje gekleurd in ben, want ik heb heel lang voor Esri gewerkt. Dus ik heb. De vraag was van wat is nou handiger om het met de voorgebakken Esri Silverlight control te doen of dat gewoon zelf te gaan implementeren zoals ik het hier laat zien. Ja. Ja, dan zou ik toch gewoon de S3-spullen gebruiken. Die kunnen ook prima met Open Geospatial spullen omgaan. En als jij een webservice schrijft die Open Geospatial formaten serveert, kunnen die ook consumeren. Je hebt niet echt aan de achterkant een S3-server nodig. Dat is natuurlijk wel de bedoeling, dat je die daar neerzet. Maar je kan ook best je eigen WCF-servers bovenop SQL Server Spatial maken, die gewoon in het formaat wat die S3-controls lusten, de zaak naar buiten spuugt. Ik denk dat het een stuk minder werk is dan dit van de grond ervan opbouwen. Want zoals je ziet, wat ik nu liet zien, ja, dat is eigenlijk peanuts. En het werk moet nu nog beginnen. Dus daar zit een heleboel bloed, zweet en tranen in als je het zelf gaat maken. Ja. Ik ken wel wat open source componenten, maar die ken ik, daar heb ik niet goed naar gekeken. Nee. Oké. Okay. Oké. Okay. Ja, okay. Maar de Esri-componenten, de Silverlight, die dingen zijn overigens gewoon vrij te downloaden. Er zit ook het is natuurlijk wel gedwongen winkelnering in die zin dat ze graag willen dat je daar aan de achterkant een ArcGIS-server ding aan hebt. Maar daar valt omheen te programmeren. Dus daar zou ik eens naar kijken. Dat is een prima optie. Oké. Okay. We zijn net binnen de tijd gebleven, dus als er verder geen vragen meer zijn, dan dank ik jullie hartelijk voor jullie aandacht.